السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الغر الميامين. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله. يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة، يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون، والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون، والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون، أولئك هم الوارثون الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. At the beginning of the creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, the cherisher and the sustainer, runs a test on all the creatures, on all the creation. And through that test, which is a very tough one, Allah the Almighty offers them an important responsibility. He provides them with an offer. Most of the creation fails to undertake that responsibility. Only one part of this creation was qualified and capable of accepting Allah's offer. And that is man, that is human being, that is you and me, and all the rest of the human being on this earth. Inna aradna al-amanata ala al-samawat wal-ard wal-jibal fa'abayna an yahmilnaha wa ashfaqna minha wa hamalaha al-insanu innahu kana zaluman jahula. Indeed, we have offered this trust, this responsibility, and I am going to tell you what type of responsibility is that. We have offered this responsibility to the heaven, to the earth, to the mountains, but they were too afraid. They declined to undertake it, and they were too afraid of carrying it, because even mountains were not qualified, were not powerful enough to take up this responsibility. The only creature who said yes wholeheartedly and was ready to accept this challenge وحملها الإنسان is you. Is you and me and all the human being. إنه كان ظلوما جهولا. We said yes to Allah. Yes, we are ready to accept this amanah, this trust, this responsibility. In fact, man has been endowed by two types of responsibilities. Entrusted by two. One, assigned to him by Allah, the Creator. Second, is given to him by people around him. But let's focus on the first one. The responsibility that has been assigned to us by the Creator. We said yes. We are ready to accept it, to undertake this responsibility, to build the earth, to build ourselves, to take care of our families, to spread peace and justice and goodness, social justice and equality in this earth. We accepted that. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala handed us over this responsibility. وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ. There is one type of amana given to us by Allah. And once we accepted the major responsibility to be God's vicegerent on earth, to be Allah's representatives on earth, to represent Him here on this earth, to be His agents here on this earth, and to reach the stage of humanity. We are supposed to reach the stage of a humanity, insaniya. Insaniya is a human perfection. This is the meaning of a humanity in Islam. Human is not only the flesh and blood of a physical shape. Human is the one who can fulfill his responsibility, who can attain that stage of a humanity. Human perfection. We have to graduate. Here in this life, we are like students who go to school. All of you who go to school, one day you have to graduate. You have to leave that school. You have to fulfill your mission in that school. Those of you who are writing your thesis, you have to see your supervisor at the end of the year. Your supervisor, your mentor, your teacher, your professor has to be happy with you. Otherwise, you are not going to graduate. If you don't make him happy, you are not going to graduate. If you do not satisfy him or her, you are not going to leave that school. You are not going to get your graduation certificate. In this life, we have to receive our graduation certificate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, we are going to fail. We are going to fail. And therefore, we are going to have a very bleak and horrible transfer into the next life. Our transfer into the next life would not be easy. Here we have to satisfy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuhal insan, O man, innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqih. You are laboring towards your Lord laboriously. Famulaqih, you have to struggle. You have to struggle, you have to strive until you stand before Him. You have to work hard until you stand before Him one day. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ. On that day, we have two kinds of people. There is no third type, only two. فَأَمَّا As to those مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ Those who receive their graduation certificate in their right hand. يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا This person, we are not going to be tough with him. We will take it very easy with him. He wouldn't have a long standing there, and he will turn back to his family joyful and happy. The one who receives his book on his right hand. As to the one who receives his book, his file on the left hand, they give it to him on the left hand, signaling his failure. Even angels would not tell him anything. How do we know that we win or lose on that day? This is the very clear signal. Receiving the book on the right hand, you are a successful person. You passed. If we receive it, God forbid, on the left hand, I'm a failure. My attorney would not help me there. The solicitor would not help me there. The judge and the government and the family and the friends and the wealth are not going to help me there. فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُو ثُبُورًا وَيَصْلَى سَعِيرًا The one who receives his book on the left hand. يَدْعُو ثُبُورًا He'll cry loud in despair. And he will face chastisement, the hellfire, وَيَصْلَى سَعِيرًا The burning hell on that day. And the time which has been allocated for us is not very long. A very short period of time. Most of you here are young. One day I was young like you. One day. It wasn't a long time ago. Today I am a grandfather. And you will be fathers and mothers, grandfathers and grandmothers very soon. Don't say I have plenty of time. If I don't pray now, I have the future ahead of me. One day I will do that. One day I'll turn to God. One day I read the Quran. One day I listen to my parents. I'll be a good practicing Muslim. Do not say one day. The one day that you refer to is today. It's tonight. From tonight, the beginning of Muharram. This is the season of Islamic Renaissance. Why we come here? Why do we participate in Imam Hussein's sessions, in Ashura's sessions? Why? To transform ourselves. This is a season of transformation. This is a season of radical change, spiritual change. It begins here. This is the first step. Therefore, you have to be regular attendants, regular every night. And once you come here to this session, you know what you have to say at home? You know what you have to say at home? Say, oh my Lord, I'm going to attend the session of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, of the nights of Ashura, of the first 10 nights of Muharram, قُرْبَةً إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى I seek your pleasure. I seek your acceptance. I seek your nearness. I'm not going there to chat with my friends. This is not my intention. This is not my intention to go there and waste my time. I'm going there to change myself, to be a better Muslim. I'm there to get closer to you, Ya Allah. So help me achieve this mission. This is the beginning of it in these sessions. Do you know how many non-believers in God and non-Muslims and non-practicing Muslims they were guided? They saw the light and the vision and the joy and the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the truth in these sessions, do you know? Along the history of 1400 years. How many people were guided because of the light of Imam Hussein? Wahab al-Kalbi was a Christian, a non-Muslim. And he converted to Islam few days just after his conversion. It did not take him long. He didn't wait until he went to Hajj. Maybe he did not pray for a long period of time. But the light of Imam Hussein, the guidance of Imam Hussein came to him. Him and his wife, both, they convert to Islam. And they both were the very first martyrs in the company of Imam Hussein, in the camp of Imam Hussein. This is the real success. Sisters, brothers, real success here is not to have £1 million in your bank, in your bank account. It's not to drive a BMW car. It's not to have a huge mansion in London or elsewhere. The real success in the eyes of God, in the eyes of your Creator, who created you, and He knows you very well, and He knows what is good for you, what is best for you. He says in the Quran, the real goodness, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. Indeed, the person who can save himself or herself from the pitfall of the fire. زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ. It is tough to save yourself. It's not easy. It's not easy. It's a very dangerous cliff. You are about to fall any minute, any second. But if you can pass that bridge, that flyover, and reach the end of the road, which leads you to paradise, then you are a successful person indeed. You are the prosperous person indeed. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. This is the real success. The real success that at the moment of death, when this life comes to an end, which comes very soon, very soon. You know, Allah tells us in the Quran that some people who live for a long period of time, but once they see the angel of death, at the time of death, we're going to realize that we are dying. Everyone is going to realize. Every person. Allah would not let any person leave this life unless he or she would realize that this is their last minute. At that minute, at that critical minute, the moment of departure, some people turn to God. He has been away from him for 7 years. At that minute, he turns to him. قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. Oh my Lord, give me another chance. Let me go back to this life. رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ. Give me another chance so I might go back and do good and offset the damage I did to myself, to my family, to my community. Let me offset that damage. Allah answers him, Kalla. Very forceful no. Kalla, innaha kalimatun huwa qailuha. وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. After launching the rocket, there is no way you can come back. After takeoff. You have entering a new world. عالم البرزخ. Purgatory world. That you have no way to come back. Until the day of resurrection. Let's not wait until the moment of departure, brothers and sisters. The smart person is the one who prepares his passport, his visa, his papers, his documents, and you are ready for departure. Whenever they call upon you, you say, I'm ready. I'm ready here to go. So, In this life, we have been endowed with a responsibility. That responsibility is called amana. Inna aradna al-amanata ala al-samawat wal-ard wal-jibal. فَبَيْنَا أَنْ يَحْمِلْنَهَا وَأَشْفَقْنَ مِنْهَا وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ. This responsibility is a grand one, is a major one. However, by accepting it, we are implying that we accept other responsibilities, other gifts that Allah has given us. The most important gift that me and you and the human being receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is it? Do you know? What is the best gift we have in this life? You may answer now. Yes. Aql. Did you say aql? Excellent. The intellectual faculty, reasoning, the power of reason, the brain, the aql. This is the best gift. Do we know? Do we appreciate that? Do we realize that? Some people do not even realize that. Some people even do not know that they have a brain here. They don't know. They don't use it. They don't utilize it. When Allah created the aql, the reason, the brain, He said the following statement to the brain. He said to him, وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي مَا خَلَقْتُ خَلْقًا أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِنْكِ. By my glory, I have never created a creature in this life more beloved to me than you. You, the brain. بِكَ أُثِيب وَبِكَ أُحَاسِب وَبِكَ أُجَازِي وَبِكَ أُعَاقِبْ. It is through you I reward people. It is through you, through reason, I punish and chastise people. Brain is weighs about 1.4 kilogram, and that's the average weight of the brain, and it has 100 billion cells. 100 billion, the most complicated and sophisticated system created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most sophisticated. But how many of us, we really cherish it and realize that we do have reasoning power? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chides and rebukes communities, individuals who do not use their brain. When their prophets come to them, inviting them to believe in God, they say to them, the answer is, إِنَّا وَجَدْنَا آبَاءَنَا لَهَا عَابِدِينَ. We follow the tradition of our forefathers. They don't use their brain. Allah wants you to use your brain to the fullest capacity. You have the power to use your brain. You do have the power. One of the scientists in America says, the average human being uses only 10% of the capacity of his brain. Only 10%. And the rest of the 90% goes for recycle, you know. Recycle. We use only 10%. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this gift. This is an amana. We're going to be asked about it. Use it for reflection, meditation, contemplation, thinking. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. That is the first invitation in the Quran to the Prophet and us, the Muslims, the believers. اقرأ, use, think, and use your brain. Use your brain, do not imitate. There is no blind following in Islam. There is no imitation in Islam. There is no simulation in Islam. We have to use our brain. We have to understand why we are here today, if you are here, and why there are other people who are somewhere else. If you are a Muslim, if you are a follower of Muhammad wa al Muhammad, we have to understand that. We have to understand it. Today, our Quran, the first verse in the Quran, invites the Prophet to think and read. 70% of the Arab nation, 70% of the Arab nation are illiterate. 70%. It is very disheartening that you go to Mecca, the land where the Quran descended, the most holy land on earth. Inna awwala baytin wudi'a lin-nas lalladhi bi-Bakkah mubarakan wa hudan lil-alamin. The very first house of worship, the very first temple which was offered for the humanity to worship God in Mecca. And you go with a taxi driver, the taxi driver cannot read the signs. You have to teach him where to go. Turn to the right and turn to the left. That is in Mecca. A Muslim, an Arab, who is a native of Mecca, the capital of Islam, is illiterate. Not because there is not enough money, not because they don't have a school, not because it is an impoverished nation, but there is no strong belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They lack the strong belief. They don't know why they are there. They think that man's responsibility is just to eat and drink, as the Quran says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يَأْكُلُونَ وَيَتَمَتَّعُونَ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ الْأَنْعَامُ وَالنَّارُ مَثْوَى لَهُمْ. Those who disbelieve in God, they think all of their goal in life is exemplified in one sentence, eating and drinking. And that's it, just like cattle. Do you see cattle when they eat? They don't pay attention to anyone. This is some people when they eat, this is his goal in life, eating and drinking. They don't pay attention to the long-term goals. Why God endowed them with brain, with aql, with honor, with value? Why? They don't know about it. Today, brothers and sisters, the vast majority of the Muslims worldwide, they believe in God and they accept Islam not through their intellectual faculty, not through reason, through emotions. It happened that they were born in a Muslim family. For those who are Shias, it happened that they were born in a Shia family, he became Shia. And for the one who was Sunni, was born in a Sunni family. For the one who is Salafi today, he was born in a Salafi or Wahhabi family. Nobody goes and thinks why I am here, which path I am following, what does God want from me? Shouldn't I go and research and find about God's way? They wouldn't. We take things for granted. The Khawarij history of Islam tells us that there was a huge group of worshippers. They were very devout, very religious and devout, by the name of Seceders, Khawarij, Kharijites. They were fighting Imam Ali alayhi salam. Those people were very religious, but at the same time were very ignorant. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, قَصَمَ ظَهْرِي إِثْنَان قَصَمَ ظَهْرِي إِثْنَان. What destroyed me and bothers me are two types of people. عالم متهتك وجاهل متنسك. One is an immoral scholar who has knowledge, but he does not have the fear of God in his heart. He does not fear God. He has no piety. He has no righteousness. This is one. He utilizes religion for his benefit, not for God's benefit, not for people's benefit. Religion for him is commercial, is money making. This is one. Alimun mutahattik, an immoral scholar. The second, wajahilun mutanassik, a devout religious person. He is religious. He wants to worship God, but he does not know the way. He's lost. He's confused. He's ignorant. He's jahil. Khawarij were one example of that. They wanted to reach God, but they followed the wrong highway, which led them not into God, into Satan. Be careful which path you follow. And today the takfiris, the Wahhabis, those who murder the innocent Muslims in Iraq and Afghanistan and elsewhere, are the same. He wants to sit with the Prophet Muhammad in paradise. He wants to marry Hur al-Ain that night because his girlfriend dumped him here. So he's looking for someone who would not dump him. He wants to go and marry Hur al-Ain. So what is the best way to marry the Hur al-Ain? Let me go and kill 500 of the Shias in Najaf, in Karbala, in Baghdad, in other cities, and God will send me the Hur al-Ain. This is the jahil, this is the ignorant. His worshipping would not help him. Allah wants me and you to worship Him according to His desire, not to our desire. According to His design, not my design. This is the right worshipping. This is the right worshipping in Islam. When we worship God according to Him, not according to us. So this is the first gift, aql. Take care of your aql. Value your aql. The second gift Allah gave us is the nafs. And I'm going to spend some time, inshallah, in the upcoming nights on self-purification, self-refinement on the soul. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Nafs is the most dangerous zone in the human being. The most dangerous zone. You have to handle it with extra care. It's very fragile, your nafs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all the success is vested in refining, polishing, nurturing, protecting your soul. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. If you can purify your soul here, then you are a successful person. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Take care of your soul. One day, one of the students of seminary, Hauza, when he graduated from the seminary and he was about to leave and go home, he went to his mentor, his teacher, and he asked him to admonish him, to tell him something that he would carry with him for a long time. It would resonate in his mind and his heart. He went to him expecting that this teacher, this Ayatollah, this mujtahid, this jurist, will give him a whole lecture, would lecture him. Once he went there, the alim turned to him. He said to him, "My dear friend, my dear son, I have only one thing to tell you, and I want you to remember that all the time. I'm not going to lecture to you. I'm going to tell you, لا تسئ إلى أقرب الأشياء إلى نفسك. لا تسئ إلى أقرب الأشياء إليك. Do not offend the closest thing to you." He said, "Mawlana, what is the closest thing to me?" He said, "The closest thing to you is your nafs, is your soul. Do not offend your soul. Take care of your soul. Take care of your soul. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. Be very careful. Sometimes the same soul seduces us. Don't think the shaitan is standing always for you. Sometimes yourself, your soul. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. indeed, human soul is prone to evil. Prone to evil. Has a tendency for evil doing. Human soul. Our soul and your soul and my soul. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا with one exception. إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. Unless Allah bestows His protection. And in this case, Yusuf was referring, this is in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, he was referring to the infallibility, isma. Unless Allah bestows that special protection on the person. Otherwise we are lost. If you listen to the soul. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Prophet states, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ الْمَعَاصِي تَصْدِيقُ النَّفْسِ. The very first step. The very first step into committing a sin. Because sin, you don't wake up in the morning committing a sin. Sin has a journey. Sin has a process. When you follow, once you follow certain process, you end up committing the sin. When the Quran says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Listen. Quran did not say, do not commit fornication. Quran said, do not approach fornication. Means that there is a road. If you follow that road, at the end of the road, there is fornication. It would lead. It would definitely lead into fornication. So don't follow that road. What is the road? The road here is mixing. Unlawful mixing with the opposite gender, with the opposite sex. Smiling, chatting, text messaging. MashaAllah, we are expert in that, you know. All of us, we do that even when we sit in the majlis. I hope, inshallah, we are text messaging our mothers and fathers, telling them that the lecture is good. But this is the beginning of it. Chatting on the internet, sitting and chatting for 3-4 hours, this is the beginning. Don't say, I'm confident of myself. I know I am a man. I'm a lady. I'm a chaste lady. No man can seduce me. Don't say this. When it comes to this, we have to be very careful. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Shut that door completely. Shut it. Off your mind. Yes, if you are intending, and I will talk one night about family and marriage and parenting, inshallah, it will come. But this is just an appetizer here for you. Yes, I encourage you, if you intend to establish a family, if you intend to be a father or a mother, to have a family, to marry lawfully, permanently, Islamically, then I would encourage you to go and try to find a partner. But if your intention is to have fun, because some of the men, they go to some women, females, girls, in the beginning they promise them that, I want to marry you. I like you. You are a good future wife for me and for my kids. You are a good mother for my kids. But once they enter that relationship, after a few months, 6 months, sometimes it takes years, he will come back to her and he would tell her very simply, I'm not ready for marriage. I'm not ready for marriage. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to tell you, I'm not really ready for marriage. Be very careful, brothers and sisters. Be very careful. One of the amanat that Allah has given us, beginning of the lecture I said we have amanatullah. There are some responsibilities that God assigned us to them. And there are some trust and amana that people entrusted us with them. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. One of them is the family. Is the family, your family and my family. In Islam we are one family. Since you are a Muslim, since you are a believer in God, then you're not, your family is not your only your siblings at home. Your family is the sister, the Muslim sister who walks in the street. You should protect her. This is what Islam teaches us. Al-Muslimu akhul Muslim. A believer practicing Muslim is a brother and sister of his practicing Muslim. لا يخونه ولا يغشه. He would not seduce him. He would not betray him. He would not disappoint him. He would not mislead him. He would not take advantage of him. Don't try to take advantage of people's life. If this girl, she's not your cousin, she's not your sister, then she should not be an easy target for you, because she's not part of your family. She is part of your extended family. Extended family, being Muslims. And we have even a bigger family, the family of the humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "An-nasu sinfan." We are bonded through two bonds. Imma, either akhun laka fi ad-din aw nadhirun laka fi al-khalq. Either your siblings in faith or your counterpart in a creation. So we belong to one family. Even people who are non-Muslims, if they do not want to acknowledge or accept that, we acknowledge it, that they are our family. They are our family. Be very careful in the intergender relationships. Be very careful in that. Do not take advantage of people's honor, people's dignity. If you are not a serious prospect, if you are not a serious person in marriage, tell the other side, "I'm not serious. I don't want to waste your time." One of the things that, although it is lawful, but it is also hateful at the same time. Not every lawful thing is good. One of them, I'm going to mention it very brief tonight, is the temporary marriage, Zawaj al-Muta. Today, many Muslims, many youth take bad advantage of it. You know how many families were destroyed because of this practice, this wrongful practice? This wrongful practice. There is a man somewhere, who does not practice. I know him very well. He does not even go to the mosque. He does not pray. He goes and he says to his family, "I have mut'a with this lady." The mother calls me. She says to me that he doesn't pray, he doesn't fast, he doesn't read the Quran, he doesn't go to... The only thing he accepted in Islam is Zawaj al-Mut'a. Wonderful. What a beautiful religion. Religion that I don't want to pray, I have no responsibility, no obligation. The only good advantage I have it is temporary marriage. On a daily basis, of course, daily basis, every day. We are responsible for that. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ. Marriage is a covenant between three covenants. The husband, the wife, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The husband, the wife, and Allah. This is why we have to solemnize the marriage, aqd. We have to have an aqd. Some people come and ask, they say, "Why, if I know the person, I trust that person, my partner, why should I do religious contract?" Because you forgot about the third party. There is a third party there. And the third party is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a solemn covenant. This is a holy contract. You have to fulfill this mission. One of the people who did not respect Amanatullah, they did not fulfill their mission, they betrayed it, are Bani Umayyah. The Bani Umayyah clan. اتخذوا مال الله دولا وعباده خولا. Number one, when it comes to the people, they enslaved the people, they subjugated the people. They treated them like slaves, like a slave, not a human being. This is one. وَمَالَ اللَّهِ دِوَلًا. They appropriated the wealth, confiscated the property and appropriated the wealth of the people. This is the practice of Bani Umayyah. And this practice continued for many, 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 many years. And no one was there to stop that. No one was there to contest that. No one was there to reject that. It needed a man, a leader, a divine leader appointed, chosen, selected, and appointed by Allah. Inna Allah astafa Adama wa Nuhan wa ala Ibrahim wa ala Imran ala al-alamin. It needed a man like Al-Imam al-Husayn ibn Ali alayhim as-salatu was-salam to give a jump start to that nation which was dead. Look at the comparison here. When Allah speaks about the prophets, the major task of the prophets, Allah says, لِيُثِيرُوا لَهُمْ دَفَائِنَ الْعُقُولِ in the hadith. The major task of the prophets is not to come and teach you A, B, C, D, E, F, G. It's not to teach you writing and reading. That is not their major task. The major task is to cultivate and stimulate. Cultivate and stimulate for you your brain, your aql, your reasoning faculty, your intellectual faculty here. To cultivate it. But look at what Bani Umayyah did. Allah says, we send the Prophet. The Prophet, he just stimulates you. And then you can know the way. He can show you the way. And you can find it. Bani Umayyah came, Muawiyah and Yazid, and all the caliphs of that Bani Umayyah, they came to do exactly the opposite of that. To sedate the people. To damage their brain. And inflict a damage on their brain. To put them to sleep. This is the major task of Bani Umayyah. And hence Islam here needed Al-Husayn ibn Ali. This is the season of Renaissance, as I said, brothers and sisters. Here we are not only mourning. Some people ask, why do we mourn? We are not mourning here. We are celebrating Hussein's birth. We are celebrating Islam's birth today. We are celebrating the birth of the Quran today. Quran was Quran, Islam, faith, God. They were murdered by Bani Umayyah. Imam Hussein came to give birth to Islam, to the true Islam, the authentic Islam. This is why, of course, part of it is emotional. You cannot control your emotion when you hear the story, the tragic events of Ashura, when you hear about the sacrifice of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Mourning it, you have to look at mourning in a positive way, not in a negative way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says sometimes some of the tears are objective. We need them. Allah says, Allah encourages us. Even in the Quran. The Quran says, when the Quran speaks about the great prophets, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّةِ آدَمَ وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمِمَّنْ حَمَلْنَا مَعَ نُوحٍ إذا تتلى عليهم آيات الرحمن خروا سجدا وبكيا. Once they hear the signs of God, they fall to prostration and weeping, crying, sobbing. This is positive. The hadith says, قطرة من الدمع تطفئ بحارا من غضب الله تعالى. Someone who has a huge load of sins on his shoulder, what is the fastest way to extinguish the ocean of God's wrath and anger is by something that you have. You don't have to call 999 in this country, is it? Huh? Fire department, 999? You don't have to call them. In America, they call 911. You have it. You have the 999 inside you. The Prophet says, by shedding tears in the middle of the night, by just one drop of tears, it will extinguish God's wrath. Oceans, biharan min ghababillah, oceans of God's wrath. So when you shed your tears for Imam Hussein, you are getting close to Allah. You are sympathizing with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why the tradition in the beginning of Muharram, our imams would sit and invite the poets and the reciters to come and recite the tragedy of Imam Hussein through his memorial. We get close to Allah. Through his memorial, we go back to ourselves and starting to evaluate our conduct in this life. To evaluate where I am standing today. Is Allah happy with me or unhappy? Through these nights. You have to value these nights, brothers and sisters. As I said, when you come here, say, I go to the majlis, to the session, qurbatan ila Allah ta'ala. This is my goal. This is my goal. كل جزع مكروه إلا الجزع على الحسين عليه السلام. Every mourning, every weeping, if it takes for long time, it is unrecommended in Islam. If you lose a loved one, a family member, Islam says it is very unrecommended for you to weep for a long time for the departure of a loved one. We have only one exception in Islam, and that is Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Kullu jaza'in makruh illa al-jaza'u 'ala al-Husayn alayhi salam. The mourning for Imam Hussein lasts endlessly. It is eternal. It is forever. One of the ahadith says that the angels who are close to Allah, they plead to Allah, they plead to Him to allow them to leave their positions, go to the shrine of Imam Hussein, spend a few minutes there just to shed some tears for the tragedy of Imam Hussein. The angels of Allah. Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam says, there are 4,000 angels are assigned by Allah. They are there permanently, perpetually, around the shrine of Imam Hussein, weeping for him. This is a positive weeping. Al-Imam al-Hujja says, Ya Jaddah, Ya Aba Abdullah, لَأَنْدُبَنَّكَ صَبَاحًا وَمَسَاءً. My weeping, my mourning for you will be perpetual, day and night, morning and evening. وَلَأَبْكِيَنَّ عَلَيْكَ بَدَلَ الْدُمُوعِ دَمًا. Rather than shedding my tears for you, I will shed my blood for you, Ya Aba Abdullah. This is in the hadith we have. The Prophet says, إِذَا مَاتَ الْعَالِمُ الْفَقِيهِ بَكَتِ السَّمَاءُ عَلَيْهِ أَرْبَعِينَ صَبَاحًا. If a scholar, a jurist dies, not get murdered, dies natural death. Allah orders the heaven to weep for him for 40 days. The Prophet was asked, how does the sky weeps for a person? He says, in the sunrise and in the sunset, there is a distinctive redness. You see distinctive redness in the horizon, signaling the morning of the sky, of the heaven. Imagine if a single alim, simple alim dies. The sky weeps for him for 40 days. What happens if the imam, the infallible imam, al-imam al-Hussein, is murdered with 72 of his family members and followers? As-Sayyid al-Himyari, one of the well-known poets, goes to al-imam al-Sadiq during such days and such nights. Imam invites him to remember Imam Hussein. in a few poetry. So he begins, أمرر على جدث الحسين وقل لأعظمه الزكية يا أعظما يا أعظما لازلت من وطفاء ساكبة روية ما لذ عيش بعد رضك بالجياد الأعوجية قبر تضمن سيدا آباؤه خير البرية فإذا مررت بقبره فأطل به وقف المطية وابكي المطهر للمطهر والمطهرة التقية كبكاء معولة أتت يوما لواحدها المنية. The man was speaking about the tragedy of Ashura, Imam Hussein, and suddenly Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he started the tears rolling over his cheek, and suddenly he heard the loud cry from the side of the women. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam ordered him to stop. Of course, who do we comfort in these nights? To whom we extend our aza, our condolences to these nights? Of course, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لو رسول الله يحيى بعدهم جلس اليوم عليه بالعزاء. Had the Prophet been alive today, definitely he would have sat here in mourning during the days and the nights of Ashura for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And after the Prophet to Amir al-Mu'mineen, to Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. Therefore, Di'bil al-Khuza'i, when he remembers the tragedy of Imam Hussein, at the end of his poetry, he calls upon Fatima al-Zahra. He reminds her, أفاطم أفاطم لو خلت الحسين مجدلا أفاطم لو خلت الحسين مجدلا وقد مات عطشانا بشط فراياتي إذا للطمت الخد فاطم عنده وأجريت دمع العين في الوجناياتي أفاطم قومي يا ابنة الخير واندبي نجوم السماوات بأرض فلاتي قبور بكوفان وأخرى بطيبة وأخرى بفخ نالها صلوايا يا ماتي نفوس لدى النهرين في أرض كربلاء معرسهم فيها بشط فراتي توفوا عطاشا بالطفوف فليتني توفيت فيهم قبل حين وفاتي أيا ناعيا إن جئت طيبة مقبلا فعرج على مكسورتي الضلع معولا وحدث بما مضى الفؤاد مفصلا أفاطم لا أوخلت الحسين مجدلا وقد مات عطشانا بشط فراتي نسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم يا الله. Please raise your hand for prayers for dua with a broken heart, with tears in your eyes, with attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Him the guidance, asking Him to show us the right way, asking Him the assistance, asking Him the protection for us, for our family members, for our friends, for our Muslim brothers in Iraq, in Iran, in Lebanon, and all over the Muslim world. They wait for your prayers. There are some people who are sick, who are bound to bed. They can't leave their homes. They can't leave the hospitals. They wait for your du'as, for your prayers. So let's do two important prayers. First, let's recite this ayah, this brief ayah, all together five times. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Amman yujibul muttarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 يا الله اللهم فرج عن المكروبين والمحرومين والمغمومين من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية المرضى المنظورين اللهم يلبسهم ثوب الصحة والعافية. The second prayers that we have to pray and mention every single night. Every single night, if I forget, you have to remind me. We have to pray for our Imam, our leader, Hujjatullah ala al-Ard, al-Imam al-Hujjat al-Mahdi al-Muntazar, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif. Let's pray together for him. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahumma kun li waliyika al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan, salawatuka alayhi wa ala abaihi, fi hadhihi as-sa'ah, wa fi kulli sa'ah, وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا واجعلنا اللهم من أنصاره وأعوانه والمستشهدين بين يديه تقبل منا هذا اليسير ومن المؤسس ومن جميع الحاضرين بأحسن القبول وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء رحم الله من يقرأ ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلوات.